talking about running this marathon, I was about 40 Ks into this marathon, and I was hurting from head to toe, wondering how I was going to get the last 2 Ks completed. Some lady came running by me. She looked like she was about in her 60s, you know. And she said as she went by, "Thank God we're almost there." And that was like a shot in the arm to me, you know. I just, well, boy, thank you, Lord, and pressed on. Some of you may be saying, as you look at the date and realize 2 or 3 more, 4 days we're done, "Thank God we're almost there." But hang in there and do thank the Lord. And let's just keep praying that He'll help us to be totally here, even though we may not feel like it at times. And He can do that. And we can be totally involved in these times. Well, I want to review, first of all, and just remind us of where we've been so far. Remember, we had 2 objectives during our sessions together: to stimulate and encourage each of you who are actively involved in the equipping ministry. And hopefully, you know, that God will have at least one thing for us that will encourage us and help us through these times together. And then to hopefully enlarge our understanding and help provide more skillful application in the development of equippers. Now, we'll just go through these transparencies one by one by way of review. Remember, we talked then about an equipper. We just brought out from the FOM, page 41, the definition: an equipper is a laborer actively involved in the process of equipping disciples to become laborers. And since he is a laborer, just to remind us, a laborer is a disciple actively involved in the process of evangelizing the lost and or establishing the saved. So we see an equipper involved in all 3 areas. And the danger is that we think of ourselves as just this, and we forget the fact that God has called us and led us to be laborers in the harvest. Then from there, we went into the 6 essentials for equipping. First one that we talked about was selection. From this group of disciples, we look to the Lord to determine who to equip as a laborer. And you remember, we used Matthew 4:19 and just took 4 things from that verse. First of all, the importance of the call of God to follow Him. Secondly, forsaking the nets. Thirdly, then actually following Him in obedience. And then fourth, fishing for men. And using that, that's what I use anyway, it's just a suggestion, but the importance of having some clear thing in your mind at all times to help you in this process of selection. Someone asked me to just repeat one more time what I meant by following the Lord, the call, and how important that is, and how everything really comes from that. Knowing that God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, has called me to follow after Him. That's motivational, and we need to just have that burning in our hearts, and we need to see that in the lives of those that we are working with at this point. All right, then from there we went from to the second essential, and we talked about the importance of prayer and the Word. The objective, to immerse the one that I have selected in the Word and prayer. And I say I have selected the one that God has laid upon our hearts to really pour our lives into. Then from that we discussed man to man as the third essential, with the objective to know Christ and to make Him known. Mark 3:14. The importance of helping this person, this disciple, to really know the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he knows the Lord and grows in Him, then to help him or her in their ministry skills. This underscores the part of making Him known. And you remember, I emphasized three skills that are so important to work on in man-to-man: evangelism, follow-up, and discipling. And I shared with you how that we as equippers need to make sure that our number one priority in the ministry is evangelism, getting the gospel out, lest we fall into this rut of, yes, equipping, but sort of putting evangelism down into a lower level and not doing it, and end up not laboring in the harvest. And then we're trying to equip this person, and we're not being examples. And he's getting something that was either in the past, or it's purely academic. And so when we begin then to major on evangelism with this disciple that we've selected, it's something out of our lives, burning in our hearts, that's real with us, a lifestyle. And so this person up here, yes, he or she had been witnessing, sharing their testimony, but up till that point it was more involved in their own personal growth. And yet now, though they may know their testimony and know some of the why and the how, we take time to emphasize the gospel and how to share it. And then we go with them, either into some of our circle of friends or into their circle of friends, and we get them started and keep them going in evangelism. And be careful that you don't determine, this is my target, we'll do it here, and you cut off everything else. God has called me to witness to servicemen. I'm led to witness to college students. And so we just cut off everything else. God forbid that we would have that attitude. He's called us and led us to witness to men and women and boys and girls, to the electricians, to the telephone men, to the men in the store, to the taxi driver, to share the gospel. And we don't want to get this person into the idea that the only place that we witness is out on his campus. So go with him in other areas. Invite him into your friends to strengthen your witness and to help you. And it isn't long until there's a convert. We're praying, God, raise up through our witness fruit. And he promises to do that. And God gives fruit. And there's a young person there to begin to work with, or someone. And so now, as we begin to emphasize the second skill, it's in the context of someone to work with. It's not just theory. And be careful of just going through a syllabus, teaching how to evangelize, how to follow up, how to disciple. And he gets all these things in his notebook or her notebook, and they don't really have anyone they're working with. Take it step by step in the light of the battle in the light of real life, where they are. And so we tell them why now and show them how, that it's because they have someone to work with. There's a real baby. God gave them fruit. And so we get them started and we go out there with them. And we're just a little ways behind them so that we can, we call it instruct, observe, and critique, IOC. We instruct, we observe, and then we critique afterwards. We talk about how it went. Well, you know that when you shared the beginning with Christ packet there, you probably could have asked him a few more questions and just gone over that a little bit carefully. You notice you just sort of went through it and handed it to him and he accepted it, but maybe you should have drawn him out a little bit more on that. So we instruct, we observe, we critique. He gets started in the quiet time. And then we talk, well, how did the quiet time go? And we get feedback from it. And you know all this. It's just a review. But so often, as I said yesterday, we get so busy, gang, don't we, that we forget this. And so now this person has moved along from a growing Christian and made some real commitments in his or her life. And we can begin to get into the real nitty-gritty, the life of discipling that person. And we give them the whys and the hows, and then we get them started. And so we're right with them all the way along. And we know this person that they're working with well, and we're praying for that one. Okay? Then we went from that into the team. Essential number 4. The objective, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, to prepare God's people for works of service. And I emphasize here how that we are responsible. 1 Corinthians 4:15. The father-son relationship there. To stick with that person that the Lord has led us to and given us a responsibility, but that there is a team. There are others that God wants to use in that life as well. And we need to be aware of that. And be aware of the resources that are around us and make use of them. All right, now, today, we get into this fifth essential, character development. It's interesting, Dr. Chu made the comment, ever thanked God for quick temper, that's right. I can't remember thanking God for a quick temper. Most of you haven't seen me with a quick temper. My wife has. The other day as we were driving up from the airport, Dr. Chu said, have you ever thanked God for holes in the road? You know, we're bumping along. And I thought to myself, thanking God for holes in the road? And then he said, well, you know, it helps to slow the traffic down. And then I thought a little bit, and I thought, you know, took it a bit further, and I thought, yes, and it also provides work for those that are in the garages repairing our cars as they fall apart. So yes, in character development, we need to be aware of the flaws in our character and in those that we're working with. That's the negative side. There's also the positive side, just flooding them with the word and prayer so that he can develop these areas. And I mentioned in your notes, how is character developed? Can patience, for example, be developed by doing a Bible study on patience? Well, certainly, that's a step in the right direction. Being saturated in the Word of God is a major factor in helping to develop our patience. But besides that, there are other factors. And we know from James that we don't program trials. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. We don't program sickness and accidents, pressures from school or family. But we can be used by God's Spirit to pray for those key folks that we're working with as they face certain trials and pressures, realizing that God may have them in a sort of a developmental program. We can look at it from a positive way. We need to honestly face character flaws. And when you see something, go to work on it with all your heart and soul before the Lord. Here's a brother who has a little problem with exaggerating. And we pick this up as sort of a trend. The Bible calls it lying. Well, don't just take that as a kind of a one-time thing. Realize that that probably has a whole history there. And begin to focus prayer in on that. And then take him to the Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. And we begin to get into, memorize some verses of Scripture on that. We may get the whole gang together and share some things on truthfulness, but really we have one person in mind. And we focus in and carry it along, because God is working on that area of that person's life. We see this in our children. And those of you that have children, pick up little areas that they, from that old nature, need to be immersed in the Word and prayer and help through things. Sometimes it takes a long time. Atmosphere is another important part of character development. And early in my Christian life, I had the privilege of living in a navigator apartment, or as you from down south would say, a flat. And I lived with two older brothers. And what a blessing that was, just being around those young men that were walking with God. I was a young Marine at that time. I had not been a Christian long. And I would be out among my fellow Marines. I was stationed in Seattle, Washington, at that time on recruiting duty. And there were a lot of pressures just from the ungodliness of these men that I worked around. And then to come home in the evening with these other fellows there, it was tremendous. I usually got home just a little bit before they did. They were working with the Army Corps of Engineers. And we had a record player there. And I was, you know, kind of loaded down with the weights of the day. And day after day, I'd just flip on that record player and listen to music, Christian hymns and songs. And what an influence music can have in helping to develop character and get you into a spirit of praise and thankfulness. Thank God for music. One of the ones that I turned on was I'm Following Jesus. And I would just flip the switch and And I would listen to this music, and I still remember the words of that. Thank you. Well, I would sort of float around this little flat, and it was really uplifting and helping. Helped me a great deal. I remember the singer, a cowboy singer named Red Harper. And following Jesus each step of the way. What a blessing that was. And that atmosphere was great in helping to develop me and strengthen me in my own character. Now, I know of one brother who had a serious problem of lust. And he actually was very deceptive and lived two lives. He was around as a navigator, yet he was also living a very private, hidden life filled with lust. And this went on for years and years. Married, children, later divorced his wife. And it broke my heart when I heard about this. I knew him so well, knew the family well. And as he was questioned about this, asked how he had gotten on with this habit of lust for over 15 years. He said, well, you know, I think if anyone would have ever faced me with it and asked me about it, that I probably would have confessed it, but no one ever did. And I just want to encourage you men to face one another and face those young men that you're equipping. Look them right in the eyes and ask them about lust and how they're doing in that area. And you know from your own lives, and I know from my own life, how that this is a target of Satan, and we're not ignorant of his devices. So we need to help each other and not just sort of go through a simple little Bible study series, as good as that is, but we know our weaknesses, and you girls know your weaknesses and what you're prone to. Talk to this young lady and face them honestly with this. If their hearts are living in victory, wonderful. Then encourage them some more and tell them about the battles that are yet ahead of them and fortify them, because if they haven't faced that problem yet, they will. Satan only has so many tricks in his bag. They're all different colors, and you know, in different cultures they may come out differently, but he only has so many tricks. We need to know what they are and help one another. You know, when you go to the dentist, you know, he looks in there for a small spot. And that small spot of decay, left alone, grows and spreads, and soon it destroys that whole beautiful tooth that God made. It becomes very painful. And we need to be like dentists. We need to regularly examine one another. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. And detect little spots of decay as the Spirit of God helps us to see these things. And then drill out the decay. Go in with the Word of God in prayer and whatever is necessary. And then fill it, and it's healed and made well before the Lord. Well, simple illustration, but I believe that's what God asks us to be like. We need to help one another in small things. In this whole area of becoming servants. Luke 16:10 talks about, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And it's talking about the context of money. But it's also a principle that applies in many, many areas. So we need to work in developing one another in these strengths, training one another. Isaiah 42:20 says, you have seen many things, but have paid no attention. Your ears are open, but you hear nothing. Most of us are not very observant. You know, we're raised in situations where our mothers work for us and our fathers, and we meet the Lord, and we're not very observant about little things. We can do big things, perhaps, if somebody tells us. But we miss a lot of little things, and of course, in the long haul, that will disqualify us from handling big things. I've noticed that right here, gang. I notice the pop bottles as they're being stuck in the upstairs there, that many, many times the straws will be left in the bottles. Simple little thing, just to take the straw out and put it in the wastebasket to save somebody else the time to do that. But we're just not observant about things. There'll be a bottle cap or two on the floor there. And we just, you know, we won't pick that one up. We'll put our own in. Or the bottles on the table out here, you know, we'll put a bottle down and we won't straighten them up. And God help us to work on order. Chairs from the discussion groups left, you know, out here and there. And we don't treat this carefully as our own. Well, we need to train each other in these areas and help each other. And that's all part of development, working with one another and memorizing scripture. A conference like this can be a wonderful atmosphere for training, developing. And hopefully some of that's been going on with some of our staff and in my own life. I remember one of the first week that we were here, I don't know if any of you noticed it or not, but the chairs were all straight. And one of the brothers here said, well, if they were curved, it would give a better chance to see forward. Just a little observation. Another time, we noticed that the wooden chairs that fold up are a little shorter than the chairs with little padding on it. So you move those chairs to the back, so that the people who are sitting a little lower can be up towards the front. And simple little things. A conference can be very helpful in training and developing character and thinking. I think 2 Peter 1:8 would be an excellent objective for character development. If you need one. Objective. It says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a whole list of qualities there to develop. 2 Peter 1:8, an excellent objective. How important this is in the whole area of equipping laborers. And we don't want to miss this. Many of us have come out of backgrounds where there wasn't much opportunity to build solidly in those areas. And we meet the Lord, and there's just a lot of rough edges that need to be knocked off. Thank God for the families and for the great privilege of exposing our kiddos, like Dr. Chu mentioning his children and the grandchildren, and building solid character traits into their lives. It puts them so far ahead to have a solid character. All right, the last essential is problem solving. Now, we may have a good plan for equipping disciples to become laborers, but very soon we run head-on into a problem. Either with the disciple that we are equipping or with someone that he or she is working with. So we need to be ready to handle problems that are basic to man, and we need to equip our potential disciple makers, these laborers, to be able to handle needs that come up in the people that they're working with. I gave the example of Demas. He deserted Paul because of the love for the world. And there'll be deserters, even from the top leadership. Disciples are rare birds. Laborers are an endangered species. So let's watch them carefully and do all that we can by God's grace to protect them, as Paul did in Acts 20, where he warned them for 3 years, and he was with them, guarding and protecting them. And he talked about the wolves that were going to come in after his departing. The interview revealed that there are several basic problems that disciples and DMs face. Some that we had on the list were unique probably to this culture, but I just selected six that seem to be common to all of us, and I've listed them there. Boy-girl relationship, self-image, peer pressure, priorities, the family, and character needs. These things came out again and again in the interview that I had, the survey with these 40 disciples, DMs. Now, I've placed on your desk there, or we have placed on your desk, the testimony of Leon Shimkin. Now, some of you have not handed in your testimonies yet. Our brother over here has been asking, Leon has handed in his testimony. You can read this later. Probably most of you are using these four basic things and helping to get at problems. This is not from a Christian perspective, but I believe that taken in the Lord, that we can gain much wisdom from this. In case you don't have the background to these four questions, you have it now in this testimony. But I've added a fifth. Briefly there, what is the problem? We need to not settle for a smoke screen, but get at the real problem. What is the cause? What are some possible solutions? What is the best solution? And then number five, what action can I take? Now this can be helpful. At least it gets us started in the whole process of helping these potential laborers to learn about problem solving. There's an example here that I'd like to go over quickly. A family problem. Pedro is a young disciple in his second year at the university. He is bright and eager academically and spiritually. I see him as a potential DM. We've been meeting together for 3 weeks to plan and pray over the next semester's ministry. Yesterday he did not show up at the appointed time. I went to his room in the dorm and found from his roommate that he had returned to his home in Mindoro. He left me a note saying his father is sick and his mother insists that he come home to help with the family. He has 6 younger brothers and sisters. Not an uncommon problem. Now we can ask those questions, but then in addition to that, we keep working on it. This sets us up with other questions like, well, why did he go without talking to me? And how long will he be gone? Obviously, I don't know that. Is he really needed at home? Or is money the need? What action would you take related to this problem? I think I need to have more facts. And the best way to get more facts is to go to Mindoro. I need to meet his mother also. I need to get the team praying. Perhaps we as a team can help if it's a financial need. We're talking about an endangered species. A laborer. We cannot just say, well, you know, old Pedro, he just didn't have what it took. Lord, bring him back someday. Problem solving. Well, there's a lot that I'm sure you can add to that as you discuss it in your discussion groups. And I trust that as you get into your discussion groups that you can not only add to these 6 essentials, but that you'll come up with other thoughts that will be helpful to all of us, and Steve can put it together on his paper. Now, in the last few minutes here, I want to just touch on the second objective, to stimulate and encourage each of you who are, that's the first objective, the second, to hopefully enlarge our understanding and help provide more skillful application in the development of laborers into equippers. Hopefully we know how to reach the lost. And we know some things about making disciples. We know some things about equipping laborers. We know also that it's God and His grace alone that can do any of this. Now, how do we develop equippers? And as I mentioned the other day, the FOM doesn't speak to that area at this time. I think there are 3 things that I want to mention, and again, I'm sure you can add to that, and I look forward to your comments and things that you would add to this. But it starts, again, with selection. Here are a number of laborers, people that God has brought down into this area. And this person down here now is an equipper maker. We used to call him an MDM, a maker of disciple makers. He's an equipper. that has upon his heart and is exercised by God to develop a laborer into an equipper. And there are three things that I just want to touch on. Selection, training, and prayer. In selection, I use Timothy as an example. Number one, he needs to have leadership strengths, particularly shepherding. And I use the word strength rather than the word gift. It's up to you to handle that in the way you wish, but I find it much easier to tell a man or to look at a man and say, well, I believe you have a strength in this area. I believe the Holy Spirit of God is going to have to identify to him his gifts. I may encourage him there, but I'm not sure I can always have that wisdom to call it out. And certainly some, I'm sure, do. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one like him. He wants to send him. I have no one like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Here was Timothy, taking a genuine interest in their welfare. Obviously, he had a shepherd's heart. He had some leadership strengths. He was an example that Paul could trust. Secondly, heart and vision for people. Heart and vision for people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker, in spreading the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. Well, I'm sure that these two could be overlapped in there, but he had a heart and he had a vision for people. Paul could feel free to send him to encourage and strengthen those people in their faith. And third, he has teaching and training strengths. He was a good communicator. 1 Corinthians 4, 17. For this reason I am sending to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which... Yes, yes. Number three, teaching and training strengths. And the reference, 1 Corinthians 4, 17. He will remind you, I'm sending Timothy, and he will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Timothy was coming as a good communicator. An example to remind them of Paul's way of life in Christ Jesus. So he had great confidence in this young man. And I just look for some areas. One is leadership strengths. Secondly, his heart and vision for people, the individual. And third, his teaching and training strengths. The second point under selection is training. first, I said the second point under selection. The second point is training. First was selection, then training, and then prayer. Now in training, what is it that the equipper maker wants to develop in this potential equipper? What's he want to train him in? How many of you can guess? Well, for me, six essentials. He wants to train this laborer in selection to help him know how to select from the disciples. Remember, he's made a disciple. Probably by this time that he's selected, he's been used to develop several disciples. So he wants to help him in the area of selection, the first essential. He wants to help him in the area of immersing this person in prayer and the Word. He wants to help him in the area of man-to-man and in the team and in character development and in problem-solving. So at the beginning of this, I said there was some overlap in these things, and there is. So you already know about this. It's merely a matter of selecting and beginning to move on this then, if God has led you into that situation. And we just follow Him along. And that takes time. And that brings us to the third point, and that is prayer. Because unless God does this, it won't get done. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Psalm 127:1. Well, what do we have here? We simply have the navigator vision and work. 2 Timothy 2:2 that we talk about and preach about. Paul, the equipper maker, working with Timothy, working with a faithful man who will work with others also. And that's where we are, gang. So God bless you as you discuss this and as you, again, search your own hearts in these areas and as you get back into the area that God has placed you. May He use you mightily to evangelize, to establish, to equip, and yes, to raise up equippers. Let's pray. And Father, we do acknowledge that apart from You, our hands are tied in all of this. And we do pray that You would fill us with Your grace to be those laborers in the harvest that You want us to be. And again, Father, thank You for every man and woman here, and thank You for what You're doing through their lives. Oh God, thank You. Thank You that we could just see in the last couple of days through these ministry reports the dynamic of Your Holy Spirit working through the lives of these men and women to glorify Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that You would continue to mightily do this through each of us. We love You, Lord, and we thank You for these times together. And we pray You would just guide us now through this day. In Jesus' name, amen.